नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are going to start from the third chapter, canto 10th, text number 1 to 5.
Shri Shuka Vacha Atha Sarva Guno Petaha Kalaha Paramashobanaha Yaryeva Jana Janmarksham Shantarksha Graha Tarakam.
Hare Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.
Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashwini. The sun, the moon and other stars and planets were very peaceful. All the directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmanas, engaging in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires according to the Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that His appearance, birth and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is first forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of His own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was also predominant, because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu, and it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who in fact is birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds. And within the mind of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forests began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of Brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharat, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in bloom, and thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmanas and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmanas were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees and Brahmanas. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmanas were undisturbed. Hare Krishna. So I would like to bless the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I will be able to speak something of benefit to all the devotees present. So this is the 10th canto. We are discussing the 3rd chapter entitled The Birth or Advent of Lord Krishna. So in this chapter there are 53 verses, just to give you an overview. And in this chapter it is described how Lord Krishna appeared and how Devaki and Vasudev they request the Lord to take a human-like two-handed form, because the Lord had appeared in a four-handed form. And Vasudev then takes him from Mathura to Gokul Vrindavan. That is what this chapter consists of. And this verse more or less explains, everything that the arrangement that was present, or the atmosphere which was present on earth during the birth of Lord Sri Krishna. So it is quite amazing. It's written in the Puranas that Krishna, of course we know that Krishna appeared on Janmashtami, right, on the Ashtami day. And there is a Puranic story in this regard, that there is, the Ashtami and the Navami are considered to be very inauspicious. And in fact, both of them, the personified forms of the Ashtami and Navami, went to the Lord, Supreme Lord, and asked for a benediction, that you please bless us, because on this day, hardly anybody does anything auspicious. So the Lord said, okay, on the Ashtami day, I will take birth as Krishna, and on the Navami day, I will appear as Lord Ram. So we see that how the Lord, when he takes birth, or when he appears, rather, this word birth is quite a paradoxical statement. It's quite a paradoxical word, misnomer actually, we should say, because the Lord is Ajanma, as it is explained in this verse, Ajanma. But still here, the title of the chapter is The Birth of Lord Krishna. So obviously that reading the Shastras without proper guidance can lead to confusions. And we've seen that, many times people find it difficult to understand the hidden meanings of the scriptures. And here it is another one where the Lord is bewildering most of the world. Most of the people of the world do not understand that how, Supreme Lord is actually transcendental when he actually takes birth just like a human being. How is the Lord taking Janma when he is Ajanma? And even reading this chapter, one may be misled, the birth of Lord Krishna. When actually he is, as it is clearly explained here, and in the Gita also, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, that my birth and activities are transcendental. So people find it very difficult to understand and accept that how the Supreme Lord is transcendental. Though he has taken birth, he's appearing just like a human being. Yeah, so like that. So of course, we should understand, we should accept, just like, therefore we need guidance, we need the authorities to tell us what the scriptures are actually intending to tell us. What is the essence of the instructions of the Vedas? There may be, like the Madhvacharya's, the Sampradaya, he gives a commentary that the Vedas do contain contradictory statements. He doesn't deny that. Madhvacharya says in his commentaries that there are instructions in the Vedas which seem apparently contradictory. So why is it there? So it is said that it is there to confuse the atheists who are also reading the Shastras. Because there are atheists also who are reading the Shastras without taking proper guidance from their authorities or from the Guru Parampara. And therefore, in order to confuse the atheists who are trying to misuse the Shastras, they do contain such contradictory statements. Therefore, we need an Acharya to decode the instructions of the scriptures. Like one lady, she in a program, in a, my congregation program, she asked me a question. That if forgiveness is divine, then why didn't Krishna instruct Arjuna about forgiveness? So the devotees were all like amazed. That's a valid question, you know. Why not? So of course there are various levels of, replying to that question. So I told her that it is meant, forgiveness is meant for the brahmanas and the devotees. But Krishna, seeing that Arjuna was not on that level, he was a kshatriya, and therefore it is not meant for him, forgiveness is not meant for him, it is meant for the brahmanas. And because he was a kshatriya, he needs to fight. Yeah. So just like that, how people find it, you know, confusing. Just like Krishna is speaking on the battlefield to Arjuna about forgiveness. Vitarag bhayakroda manmaya mamupashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa bhuta madbhava magataha. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that you please learn forgiveness, learn to become free from anger. Now imagine you are telling a soldier who is about to fight, become free from anger. When all of us, we know that we always fight when we are angry. You know, so it is kind of a contradiction that how can Arjuna fight when he is not angry? And therefore, we need to learn the art and we need to understand the principles of the Shastras from a bona fide source. Like that. So here we see that the Lord is appearing. Krishna is appearing. Krishna avatar. There are 10 incarnations. But before Krishna appeared, Lord Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga. So why this sequence? So the Acharyas explain. Because when Krishna is telling Arjuna all the principles, vitarag bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashritaha, and things like, you know, become free from attachment, and you know, kill your guru and things like that, you know. So Arjuna is saying, well, you're telling me to kill guru, what is this? In his mind he's thinking, Krishna, it is easy to speak but difficult to follow. Can you follow what you're speaking? So in order to become, you know, to for the Lord, he knows that Arjuna may speak something like that. So it is already implied that Lord has already incarnated as Lord Ramachandra. And in the avatar of Lord Ramachandra, he has demonstrated all those principles of detachment, freedom from anger, and freedom from control, power, and all these attributes. So here we can see that the Lord is actually taking this incarnation. He took an incarnation previously, showing how to practice, and in the incarnation of Lord Krishna, he has appeared to preach. So preaching follows practice. We can only preach when we actually are practicing. So Lord Krishna, when he speaks the Gita, he has the authority to speak because he has already practiced it in his incarnation as Lord Ramachandra. And obviously then what to speak of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation when he's actually demonstrating the highest emotions of devotional service. Like that. So here we can see this wonderful description of how the arrangements have been made in nature welcoming the Lord. So Bhudevi, we can see, is making all these arrangements. You know, the Mother Earth is making all the arrangements in preparation of the appearance of the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. In the Vedas it is explained, in the Shastras, that a wife decorates herself and dresses herself up very nicely when her husband is at home. And when he is not at home, that time she is like, you know, simply dressed. So we can understand here that the goddess of Bhumi, she is kind of making all these arrangements, and it is explained what kind of arrangement she has made. Beautifully described here, I don't want to repeat it, but it's very clear that though it was Dwapara Yuga, the symptoms of Treta Yuga appeared. The minds, intelligence of all the Brahmanas became purified, and we can see that even though it was rainy season, September, during the time when Lord Krishna appeared, it was supposed to be hot, yeah, and a little rain, and but still it was like the Sharat season, very pleasant, wind blowing, and things like that. So we can understand that how the arrangements of the earth was made by the Mother Nature in order to welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see that Lord is demonstrating that how every inadequacy in nature, in the world, that we see, you know, in terms of lack of facilities or the lack of food or famines and droughts that we hear about in today's society, is only because of the lack of God, a godless society, or lack of religious principles. God in the form of his shastras, in the following of his instructions in the society. So we can see that how when the Lord is present, there cannot be any inadequacies in the society in terms of climatic changes, and you know, as we can see now, even during this time it's raining. The climate, global climates are changing. In fact, in the first canto, 15th chapter, we were reading it, and it is explained that when Lord Krishna departed from this world, it is described that the climates, they changed, the sequence changed. You know, everything was changing. Inauspicious signs were there on this earth. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that in many of his teachings and purports, that if there is any inadequacy in the society, it's only because of the lack of spiritual principles, the lack of God consciousness in the society. Just like, for example, in a house, if there is a son, you know, who may have developed a habit of stealing something from the cupboard, from the father or something like that, then what the mother will do? She will obviously lock up the cupboard, right, and keep the key with her. So, but that is not what she wants. If the child matures, then the mother will, you know, give the key to the son and tell him to manage the accounts of the house. Is it not? So just like that, when the living entity becomes selfish and he becomes godless, then Mother Nature, she withholds all the facilities and makes life very difficult for the living entities, because he has become crooked. He has developed a bad consciousness, basically, because it is not serving the purpose of the creation of the world, which is meant for our purification and our elevation. So therefore, it is explained that here, when the Lord is appearing, all the auspicious signs are manifesting. Yeah. So it is explained that this is a very glorious event, the advent of Lord Krishna and his touch, the Supreme Lord, the Transcendental Lord, who is transcendental, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing from the spiritual world, about to set his foot on this material world. And that is very glorious. Very glorious. And therefore the gopis are praying, Jayati Teyadikam Janmana Vraja Shrayata Indira Shashvadatrahi, that because of the touch of your lotus feet, this Vrindavan has become eternally the place of residence for Goddess Lakshmi. So we can understand that how by the touch of the Lord on this planet, he has glorified this planet. Yeah. So that is a very important principle, that we can see that anything in connection with God becomes glorious, becomes very potent, becomes very powerful. You know, and therefore when we go for yatras, we go to holy places like Vrindavan and Dwarka, that place actually purifies us. You know, somebody asked us You know, the question could be raised, like when we read the Gita, you know, the why the Gita contains statements of Dhritarashtra. If you open the Gita, it is what? Bhagavad Gita. And when you read the Gita, you find Sanjaya Uvacha, you find Arjuna Uvacha, you find Dhritarashtra Uvacha. You know, and the Acharyas raise a question that is there any benefit in reciting the verses of the Gita which contain words spoken by Dhritarashtra, Sanjaya and Arjuna? Because they are not words spoken by Krishna. And the Acharyas explain, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that because it is in conjunction, because it is mixed with the words spoken by Krishna, those words also are purifying. Because they are connected, there is a connection. Because it's in touch with the words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those words have also become immortal. And the example he gives, just like a ring. You know, you drop a ring, a gold ring, into a you know, salt, a pot of salt. You pick up the ring and you lick it, it tastes salty. Why? Because the ring was in touch with salt, even though gold has no taste, but it tastes salty. So similarly, the words which have been spoken by Sanjayad, by Dhritarashtra and by Arjuna, obviously, because it's in contact with the words spoken by Krishna, they're all purifying. They're all immortalized. Those words are also become immortal. Recently, I was reading one news article of some departed singer. And he's so famous that even our devotees sing his tunes in Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So that was a Hindi song which he composed, you know. Hoton se chulo tum, mera geet amar kar lo. So basically, he's saying that, you know, please let these words or poem which I have composed come through your mouth so that it will be immortalized. These are the words which he's using for his beloved. I mean, this is how the song goes. Yeah. But actually, no human being has the power to give immortality to anybody. In fact, that is meant for the Gita. Because the words have come from the lotus mouth of Krishna, these words are amar, immortal. And actually we can see that how every song which these people make, these poets and these materialistic singers, they're all meant for glorifying God only. Because they're cheating the people when they say that, you know, you'll become amar, or the song will become amar because it has been touched by your lotus lips. But actually that's not true. The Gita is immortal, the Vedas are immortal because they have emanated from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karma brahmod bhavam viddhi brahmaksharam samudbhavan tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagya pratishthatam. That how the Lord's breathing has created the Vedas, and therefore the Vedas are immortal, they are eternal. And in contact with the Vedas, we also become eternal. We attain eternal life. So like that we can understand that how by contact of the Supreme Lord on this planet has become glorious, Mathura has become glorious, Vrindavan has become glorious, and when we go and visit that place with a proper attitude, we become glorious, we become immortalized. That is the idea, and the Lord, we can see, is taken up that that very wonderful act, his humility, to have actually come down to give us a message, to give his association. You see, like that. So Prabhupada was actually, when he was preaching in America, at that time in India, there was one political party known as the Ram Rajya political party. And they were promising the people that there will be peace and there will be harmony. We will bring about a change in the society and we'll make India just as it was during the reign of Lord Ramachandra. But actually, Prabhupada said this political party had nothing to do with Lord Ram. There was Ram in only one place. There was no mandate for Lord Ram. Only there was Ram in one place in the name of the political party. Ram Rajya political party. That was it. Prabhupada said, how can you have peace? How can you have tranquility and all the situations that we are seeing here when Krishna appeared? How can you have that without Krishna, without God? It is impossible. And therefore Prabhupada said, if you really want peace, then we should have actually Krishna consciousness being spread. You should spread this movement. The MLAs and all the members of the parliament should be chanting Hare Krishna. You know, and Prabhupada says certain things which they should be doing. They should be following the regulative principles. They should be chanting Hare Krishna, you know, and all those things. So he lays down the rules and regulations like that. So we see that because of the touch of the Lord's lotus feet over here in this material world, this world has become glorious. So much so that even Lord Hanuman, he is praying to the Lord. Oh Lord, let me be here in this material world, eternally. Why? Because this world is so glorious, because you have placed your foot on this world, on this place, Ayodhya. And moreover, your glories in the form of Ramayana will be spoken eternally. And therefore, I would just want to be here and hear your glories eternally. So we can see that there are so many such wonderful things associated with the Lord's touch. Yeah. So like that. So Krishna says that, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvadaha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjuna. Krishna says that my birth and activities are transcendental. He is not born like a human being. His appearance is divine and transcendental. And anybody who accepts this fact also becomes transcendental. Who accepts this. And we find that most of the people of the world today find it difficult to accept that how Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are so many such cases of bewilderment, as we can see, that even in Sati, the good wife of Lord Shiva, was also confused. She herself found it bewildering when she saw Lord Ram going in search of his wife and lamenting. So Sati also made a mistake to doubt. She doubted and she told Lord Shiva that I doubt that this person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead lament the loss of his wife for something so material, which conditioned beings of this world do? How can the Supreme Lord be lamenting just like an ordinary human being? So Sati also doubted whether Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Shiva told him, don't make the mistake. He is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing the part of an ordinary human being. But still she decided to test. And it is explained that she took the form of Sita and came in front of Lord Ram. And Lord Ram looked at her and said, oh Sati, where is Lord Shiva? Why have you come here? So Sati realized that, oh, she made a mistake. And she was so embarrassed because she did not heed the advice of her husband. So she didn't tell her husband about what had occurred. But Lord Shiva already knew. And Lord Shiva had seen Parvati, or Sati rather, not Parvati, Sati, take the form of Sita, who is looked upon as a mother by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva couldn't now look at Sati as his wife, and he gave her the position of a mother. And Sati realized that, my God, what has happened? Big blunder. And we see in Bhagavatam that later on in Daksha's sacrifice, Sati gives up her body, and it is explained that one of the reasons why Sati gave up her body was because she lost that relationship, because of her offense, not heeding the advice of her husband, led to such a great offense of having doubted Lord Ramachandra, due to which she lost her, you know, intimacy with Lord Shiva. And as a result, she thought, this body is not worth keeping. Let me just give up this body and take another incarnation. And she appeared as Parvati. What to speak of Sati, even Hanuman mistook the identity of Lord Ram. We know that when Lord Ram was looking for his wife Sita in separation at that time, Hanuman, he was doubting whether is it possible that he is a supreme lord. He had a doubt. And Lord Ram understood that Hanuman had a doubt. So therefore, he gave Hanuman the ring and told him that you take this ring and you go and fetch my wife. Now, he could have given this ring to any monkey. It is said that the Lord's energy in the form of the ring has so much of power that it could empower any monkey. It could empower Sugriva, it could empower Jamvant. But why only Hanuman? Because Hanuman had that doubt that maybe Lord Ram is not the Supreme Lord, because he's just lamenting, just like an ordinary human being. So we can see that the Lord's pastimes, Janma and Karma, are in one sense transcendental, but at the same time very confusing, because great souls have also mistook the pastimes of the Lord like that. So we can see that how to understand Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Vetti Tatvadaha Tyakpa Deham Punar Janma Naiti Maam Eiti So Arjuna is not so easy, even though it may be seeming so apparent, to accept that the Lord's pastimes are transcendental. Yeah. So like that. So we can see here that the Lord appeared to Devaki and Vasudev because of their unflinching faith, because of their austerities that they performed, and because of the devotion. The Lord appeared to Vasudev and Devaki. We can see that. The Lord has appeared to relieve his devotees from the suffering. Devaki and Vasudev are in intense separation, are in intense anxiety being in the prison. For so many years, Kamsa had inflicted a lot of sufferings to Devaki and Vasudev, and the Lord has at last appeared to free them from the misery. So we can see that the lives of the devotees is filled with a lot of suffering. We've seen that, and we are seeing it here. The Lord, even now after he has appeared, it is not that their sufferings will end. No, the sufferings will continue for some time, and it will only end when Lord Krishna returns from Vrindavan back to Mathura to give his association to Devaki and Vasudev. So we can see that how the sufferings of a devotee's life are actually also a source of bliss. Why is it that the devotee may have sufferings and still he is enjoying? That is because the devotee always knows that the end is always good. In the end, Krishna will come, Krishna will appear, and he will give me his mercy. And that hope makes the suffering situation also an enjoyable, because a devotee lives always in the hope that even though I may be suffering now, there may be many austerities which I may be undergoing, but in the end, Krishna will protect. Just like a child, when he's thrown into the air, mother may throw the child in the air, or the father may, and then hold him. So when the child is falling, he's happy. He's afraid, but at the same time he's happy. He's miserable, but at the same time he's happy. Now consider if a plane is about to crash and all the passengers are all falling down. Now that all the passengers will be miserable. Now they are also falling and a child is also falling. Free fall. But what is the difference? The difference is that the passengers know for sure they are falling to their death. And therefore they are absolutely miserable. And the child knows that when I fall, my father will hold me. So also we see, just like people like to go for movies, and you know, no matter how horrible in between there is crime and everything, but when the movie ends well, they like it. So just like that, even though a devotee, there's so many problems in his life, but why all the problems are worthwhile experiencing? Because the devotees are confident and hopeful that in the end, Krishna will give me the mercy. Yeah, and that's what we can see here. That so many examples of all the devotees of the Lord are undergoing so many austerities, so many trials and tribulations, unbelievable trials and tribulations. I was in Nasik recently, and we went for darshan at one temple called as Kala Ram Mandir. It's a wonderful story how that temple got built. There was this leader of some Maratha army, some Peshwa, his name was Rangarao Odekar. A wonderful story that how he spent all his treasury in building the temple. He spent, in today's equivalent, if you consider, he spent around 30 lakh rupees, which he had exhausted all his treasury. Now, if you would have to construct that temple, like Kala Ram temple, today, it may cost about 1,000, 2,000 crores. Solid stone temple. He exhausted his entire treasury to make a temple for the Lord. That was amazing. And it is explained that one part of the temple was left, the kalash. He couldn't afford the kalash. On top of the sanctum sanctorum, there's a kalash. That part was left. And he didn't have any money. And his wife donated her nathani, her nose ring, studded with diamond and gold. She gave it to her husband and told him that you please construct that kalash and complete the construction of the temple. So we can see the austerities and the sacrifices that this devotee has made. And it is not that on every stone he has printed his name, that built by Rangarao Odekar, built by Rangarao Odekar. Nowhere you'll find his name printed. He constructed such a wonderful temple. Nowhere are plates put up, donated by, built by, you know, whatever. Just one place in the altar, it is there that, you know, so-and-so person constructed, whatever. That's all. So we can see the sacrifice which people make. Generally, people come to the temple to ask the Lord or to take from the Lord. But here we find the devotees, great devotees of the Lord, want to give to the Lord, serve the Lord. Just like in the temple, the pujari performed aarti, and the aarti came out from the altar, and so all the devotees were taking, you know, on their head the blessings. So one person, he took the blessing, put it on his head, again he took blessing and he put it on his knees. And some devotees were bewildered, what are you doing? So, thoda ghutne sek raha hun. Thoda ghutne mein dard ho raha hai. So, you know, how people can use the Lord they can engage the Lord in their service. So, like that, you know. So, here we can see that. We hear about Lakshman's sacrifice. There's a place, Tapovan, where Lord Lakshmana, he performed austerities. What is the austerities he performed? He never slept for 14 years. And it is explained that Nidra Devi personally appeared there and told Lakshman that there are so many people of this world who take my association and blessings. I serve the whole world, but you are the only person. How come? Please help, let me serve you. Take rest. So Lakshman said, please don't disturb me, but if you want to serve me, go to my wife Urmila. She has also not slept for 14 years. So she said, oh, is it? So she goes to his wife. Wife has also not slept. She says, please ask for benediction. I'm very pleased. So Urmila says that, I only ask for one benediction. Please do not disturb me. Us. Let my husband and me serve Lord Ram without any distractions. So generally when we sleep, we put do not disturb boards, you know, in hotels or when people go, do not disturb. But here we find that, you know, Lakshman and They are serving the Lord and they are putting do not disturb. Let us continue our service. Like that. So we can find that the austerities, you know, the glorious austerities that the devotees of the Lord are performing. In Nasik, devotees were saying that there's Kumbh Mela. And there are people from all over, they come, like Naga Babas, Khada Babas. Naga Babas don't wear any clothes, they sacrifice their clothes altogether. Khada Babas, they are always standing. From years together, 40, 50 years, they never sleep. They only stand. Prabhupada said that we should take inspiration from these people. The austerities that they perform for realizing their Atman, for getting liberation from this world is quite commendable. And we can take inspiration from these people to also perform some austerities in the service of the Lord. So like that. So obviously, and the Lord has appeared and will appear as we will read further. And we can see, but still, that even though the Lord Krishna has appeared, out of all the incarnations of the Lord, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is most important and the most magnanimous and the most, we can say, practical and beneficial to all of us. Because in the incarnation of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna has come personally in the mood of Radharani, in the most compassionate mood, in order to give us a simplest of simple process of simply chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram. So it is. He has made it so simple for all of us that we hear about all these austerities and we simply carry on with our chanting Hare Krishna. And that's all we do. In ISKCON there's not much of austerity. Simply just to hear, that is the greatest austerity. Simply to hear. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada is very merciful that he has given us this wonderful facility to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. Yeah, it is explained that just simply by hearing these pastimes, one attains liberation. And that itself is the greatest austerity for so many people. Even the gods find it very austere. They would prefer to churn the ocean to get nectar to become immortal rather than sit and hear Harikatha. Ravan approached Narada. And Narada refused to come close to him. So he took out a sword and slashed Narada. And he found Narada couldn't be killed. He was immortal. And Ravan looked at Narada and he said, "You are immortal." And immediately fell at his feet and said, "I'm sorry. Please tell me the secret of your immortality." So Narada said, "Just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." But that was too difficult for him. He said, "Impossible. I will do tapasya. I will." Even Hiranyakashipu, when he met his son, he said, "What is making you so powerful?" He said, "Devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam." But that was very difficult for him. He preferred to stand on one leg, raising his two arms right up over his head towards the sky for thousands of years. That is easy for him. But to chant Hare Krishna was difficult. Probably that was because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not incarnated till then. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ke jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. There is one announcement. The lamps during Damodar Ashtakam prayers were sponsored by Mr. Shivdhar Rai. So all the devotees are requested to express our thanks and gratitude by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.